So this morning, in both the Isaiah passage and in today's passage in John, we hear a sense of what it means to be called by God. If we go and think about the Isaiah passage that Catherine read to us just a little while ago, we hear how God was calling Isaiah from before he was even formed in his mother's womb. And if we were to go even further back in our scriptures to Genesis chapter 1, we hear that God made humankind male and female. He made them in the image and likeness of God, which means deep within each and every one of us, there is this God-shaped hole that just puts us on this journey to try and fill. And we spend our lives attempting to fill it with multiple things, whether it's sports or whether it's family, whether it's work. We find all sorts of things to try and find that, to fill that space and feel complete. But at some point, our journey will lead us to Christ. Which brings us to the John passage this morning. John is sharing what has happened with Jesus. John the Baptist had quite a following at the time that Jesus was walking this earth. And there were many who were coming to the waters to be baptized, many who were hearing his teachings about repentance and turning from a life of sin. So he had quite a following. And many even were wondering if he was either Elijah or the Messiah. So John, in his gospel, is sharing with us how John the Baptist is helping distinguish between who John the Baptist is and who Jesus is. And he has these two disciples who hear him say, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God who is going to take away the sin of the world." Which means that he is elevating Christ, elevating Jesus to that place of the sacrificial lamb who will atone for all of the world's sin. And so the two disciples follow him. And I love that they ask him, that when he follows them, Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" And I want us to think about that question just for a moment. What are you looking for? How many times in our lives do we seem to be looking for something? We're looking for happiness. We're looking for the one thing that will make our lives complete. We're looking for something that just fills our soul with satisfaction. And Jesus asks these disciples, "What are you looking for?" And they answer him, "Where are you staying?" And I think that's a really odd question. Where are you staying? So we could think maybe they're asking him, "What house are you staying in?" But I want us to take it just a deeper level. I want us to think about maybe they were asking Jesus, "Where are you rooted? Where are you staying?" And Jesus is staying in his Father's house. So when he says, "Come and see," he's not just saying, come and see my new house I just built and see all the arrangements I made and see what I have on my walls. He's saying, come and see what I have to offer you. Come and see. And so we begin this calling of his disciples. Some of them came, some of them journeyed, some of them wondering who this Jesus was. And when he says, "Come and see," they stay. They stay. They don't just come and see. They're those guests that never leave. Except we want to be guests that never leave the house of the Lord, don't we? Don't we? So they are guests that never leave, except for one, and his name is Andrew. And what does Andrew do? Andrew goes and finds his brother, and he says, "We have found the Messiah." Now, he could have gone to see his brother and said, "Hey, we found the Messiah." And Cephas could have gone, "So, I got fish to do." My guess is this is what happened. Andrew was so excited about having been in the presence of Jesus Christ and knowing that this was the Messiah. He went running to find his brother and went, "Cephas, we found the Messiah." And he comes and he goes. And that is when we hear Jesus rename Cephas to be Peter. Peter, who becomes the rock of the church. God has been calling all of us, all of our lives. Even before we're born, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We're all called. Some of us are called into full-time ministry. Some of us are called into missional work out in the world. Some of us are called to just be those disciples of Jesus Christ in their homes and in their community, that people look at them and say, I can see Christ in you. But we are all called. And we're called to be those voices. We're called to be John the Baptist, actually, to be pointing everybody to Christ, the ones crying out in the wilderness that this man is the Son of God. And in him you will find your salvation, that he died on the cross so that you might have life and have it eternally. He died so that you could be free of sin. It may be a journey, a continual journey of dying to self and rising to Christ each and every day. It's the reason we have a body of Christ that we worship with, so that when we go astray, the community can bring us back into the fold. We can be accountable not just to God, but to one another. Jesus had disciples. He didn't need to have 12 disciples. He could have and can save the world all by himself. But we need community. And Jesus shows us how to form community, that we are called to be the messengers of hope, the messengers of peace, the messengers of love. We spoke in Sunday school, we spoke at United Methodist Men already this morning about the level of division in the world. Whether it's division in the church, whether it's division in homes, whether it's division in political arenas, whether it's division in international relations. The world is the most divided it has ever been. And we might think that there is no hope. But God's word this morning reminds us that God's plan and God's hope is for a world that is united, a world that is a world of love, that is a world that when the heavens open and the New Jerusalem comes, there will be no more death, no more weeping, no more mourning, no more sickness, no more hate. But that day is not here today. But that day is coming. And until it comes, we are the ones who are to proclaim the message of salvation, the message of Christ. We are called not only to fill our own God-shaped holes in worship and in praise and in community and in scripture and in prayer. We are to let people know that hole in their life, that space in their life that they keep feeding with things that aren't of God, that God can fill it and they will have no more hunger for other things of the world. That God can bring healing and wholeness in God's time and in God's way. But we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We just sang a hymn, that's why I had my hymnal open, to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, to weep o'er the erring one, to lift up the fallen, to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. We are to be the Andrews, the John the Baptist. We are to be the ones that call and point everyone to God through Jesus Christ, who can bring wholeness to life. We should be excited about Jesus. We should be happy. I think I've told this before, so just blame it on my age. In my first appointment, there was a man, a gentleman who was older than me, but he was a brand new Christian. And he wanted to be on every committee the church had. He wanted the church to go out and do this in the neighborhood. He wanted the church to go on mission trips. He wanted the church to do this and do that. And his energy was beyond anything they could handle. And so some of the church members who had been in that church since they were children went, "He's just a new Christian. He'll calm down after time. God doesn't want us to calm down after time. God wants us to be so excited about doing the work of Christ in the world that not necessarily we want to be on every committee, but we want to do the things in our communities, in our church, and in the world that helps each other to see that they are the most valued person in the world." Because I can remember that moment that Christ came into my life. And I was reading a book just recently, and I was so shocked that another person had the same experience that I had. Janet Wolfe was her name, and she talked about that she was sitting on her kitchen floor, desolate. Everything had fallen apart. And she was crying to the Lord, and she felt this wonderful presence that reminded her that she would never be alone again. And I remember that moment when I realized I would never be alone again. That my life had value to the one who we call Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Janet Wolfe has moved into this missional aspect of her life in the world, and she did there's a Methodist women's study, or a Methodist, or women, you know, anyway, there's a women's study on her Resurrecting Hope book. We can get to that place where we can be in despair and we can think that God isn't winning this battle. Well, there are skirmishes that might look that way. But when we give up, when we choose not to see the need in our community, not to see the need in one another, not to know when someone is lonely, someone isn't hungry, someone is just needs to know that they have value, because every human being in the world has value to God. That God never created anything that God didn't call beloved, no matter how we see them. But they might need to see themselves in the eyes of Christ. We are called not just to fill our God-shaped hole, but to share with someone else that they too have a God-shaped hole, and Christ can fill it. You are called in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.